From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, with a young boy named Ernie. Ernie grew up in a single-parent household with his father. And when he was 8, Ernie and his dad moved to Stamford, Connecticut. In his spare time, there were 3 places that young Ernie could go: school, church, and the local YMCA. At the time, 8-year-old Ernie didn't know the impact the Y would have on the course of his life. Ernest Lamore has held a number of roles in the nonprofit sector in his adult life, but his time leading the very Y that was such an important part of his life as a child seems to have cemented his career path. After serving as the CEO of the Stamford Y for a number of years, Lamore went on to lead the Ridgewood YMCA in New Jersey, and from there he came here to Rochester. Lamore took the helm of the YMCA of Greater Rochester January 9th, 2023. It's the first time this century that a new leader has served in that top position in our region. Lamore brings new energy, vision, and a new 5-year strategic plan to the table. A significant part of that plan centers youth and teens and how to best support them as members of the community. One could say that Lamore is looking out for the young Ernies in our community. He knows from experience. This hour, we're sitting down with Ernest Lamore for the first time on Connections, and there's a lot to talk about, from his background to his goals and vision for the Y here to how he sees the nonprofit's role in a community that has been, as he knows, critical at times of decisions under previous leadership to sell a city branch or close a city branch and open a lavish new branch in the suburbs. Lamore says he understands the value of community for everybody, and I'd like to welcome our guests. Ernest Lamore is president and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Ernie, from here on out, I guess. It's great. I'll call you Ernie. That's what you want, sir.
Perfect.
Great having you. Thank you for being here. And thank welcome you. As well to Pam Cowan, Chief Experience Officer of the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Welcome back. Thanks for being here. You know, Ernie, just talking a little bit about that background growing up, you moved, I've got it at 8 years old, to Stamford, Connecticut, yeah?
That's right.
How much time did you spend at the Y there as a kid?
Well, I think a lot more than spending time at church or even school sometimes, right? I mean, during the summers, it was, almost like 10, 12-hour days at the local YMCA there, and just made a lot of great friends, terrific people, adults who were role models and that I can look up to. And, they did a great job of paying it forward with me. All right. And so the Y definitely had a great impact on my life and spent a lot of time there as a youth.
What's your best memory? What's your favorite memory from the Y growing up?
Oh, man, a number of memories. But the one that I think sticks out the most is, playing ball at the Y, meeting my really good friend, Kareem Lee, who both him and I played ball, lived in the same neighborhood, go down there to the Y together. Being able to just spend the summers there. I was a scholarship kid. I think my dad paid $50 for the year for me to participate in after-school programs and learn to swim at the Y. And so it was just great all-around experience and meeting terrific people, some of the friends that I'm still in contact with till to this day.
One of my first team sports experiences was at the Y as a kid. I did not end up with a career in the NBA, but I played YMCA basketball. And I remember a few years ago talking to a friend who I had played with. And in my memory, we were a team that was really good, young kids, these little half-court things, and great coaches. And I have this memory of being up like 44-8 in a game, and the coach was like, all right, like let's just make sure everybody's moving the ball. We're not, we're not pressing. And my friend reminded me a few years ago, we were the team that had 8. In my memory, I thought we were the team with 44. That's how good of an experience it was. I didn't care that we were getting blown out. In my memory, it was like, it was joyful. So yeah. I suppose that is a emblematic of what you'd want from the Y.
And here's the one thing that I came to find out later on, right? So that experience that you had as a kid, that was volunteer-led, by the way, right? Youth sports coaches in the Y. They are dedicating their time, wanting to pay it forward. And so I had my first female coach at the Y playing basketball. And our team wasn't that great. But you know what? Like you, I never remembered any of the scores of games. But I remember having a great time and learning, right, and meeting new friends and having those kinds of experiences and connections that last a lifetime.
What do you think the Y being there when you were 8, 9, 10 years old, you're in a new place, you're meeting friends. What do you think it meant for your dad and your family to have that as a resource?
Oh, everything. My dad, as a single parent, he worked all day, right? You know, he was gone from 5:45 in the morning, and, you know, he'd come home about 4:00, change his shirt, grab a cup of coffee, wash his face, and he'd be back on I-95 going to Westport to clean out office buildings. And he did that until about 11 o'clock at night, and then the next day. And so having a safe haven, a safe space, knowing that I was going to get my homework done, knowing that I was going to be in a positive atmosphere where adults were going to take care of us, it meant everything. You know, I would tell you, I grew up in a terrible neighborhood, saw a lot of bad things. I mean, you know, drug deals taking place right in front of our porch on a daily basis. That was the kind of environment that we lived in. And so being at the Y took me out of that environment and understood that there were positives in life that I can look to. And the Y provided those opportunities, whether it was even in after school or summer camp, right? During the summers, being up in North Stanford, where it was a Girl Scouts camp, and we can go there, being in the woods, right? Being in the wilderness, learning, you know, just the, you talk about summer learning loss now, that's always been a thing, right? And so me and some of my friends had that opportunity to be at the Y, going to day camp, right? Experiencing, being exposed to things that we would not have had an opportunity if we stayed in our local neighborhoods. And so I saw a lot of positivity, right? And it made me want to do better in life. And so I think the one thing our dads always talked about and expressed to us growing up was, you know, he wanted us to live good lives as good citizens, not get in trouble. So staying away from drugs, staying away from police, right? Not doing those negative things that would lead us down a path of not being able to be where I am today, right? And education was stressed, very importantly, at a young age to us. But if not for the why, you know, I don't know where I'd be today.
Well, I'm talking to Ernie Lamore, President and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Rochester, and a big theme that you're going to hear this hour is we're talking about not only Ernie's vision, but how he, Pam Cowan, who's with us as well from the Y, want the Y to be something for everybody in the community. So one thing that you just mentioned, you know, growing up in a place where, you know, you can see drug deals happening, you know that there's a lot of kids who kind of get pulled into that, in that kind of life. I grew up, you know, one of the most privileged human beings probably ever. I mean, just a very middle-class, comfortable life. I'm very, very fortunate. I try to keep that in mind. For me, the Y was a place of choice. Like, I wanted to be at the Y. I wanted to be playing sports there when I was growing up. I spent my summers at YMCA Camp Añasa down in Jamestown. Well, that's on, it's on, it's in DeWittville. It's on, Chautauqua Lake, where my whole family lives. What happened to my brain on this Monday? Every summer of my life there, was growing up. My grandfather in the 1940s went to Camp Añasa on Chautauqua Lake.
Yep.
And, so it was a choice, and it was a place where a privileged kid like me wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a place where kids who don't have privilege sometimes need to be. And I'm curious to know, as you were kind of getting older, were you eventually going to the Y because you wanted to, or did your dad say, that's where you got to be?
Yeah. Well, it started out as, this is where you got to be.
Okay.
Right? And then it eventually, like, man, I love this place, right? This is where I want to be, right? And so it became a choice in a sense. But, you know, up until I was 17, 18 years old and went off to college, I was a scholarship kid. And so the Y took care of us, and our family was better off for that as a result. And so, you know, yes, I understand what you're saying, but here's the beauty of the Y too, that connection, right? You know, bringing people from all walks of life together, right? Young and old alike, different backgrounds. I think that's a plus. That's what we need a lot more of in our society.
And, I agree.
Right? And being able to be that convener space, right? To build that camaraderie. To understand that even though we're from different backgrounds or where we may live, there's a lot more that unites us in that sense. And we do have a lot of the same interests, right? And that is, we want our lives to be better. We want our children to grow up having great opportunities. And the Y provides that for a lot of kids who may not. And one of the things that I loved about the Y is our motto is, we don't turn anyone away for an inability to pay. I think sometimes that gets lost, right? Where people may think, oh, I can't afford to go to the Y. Well, I can tell you, you know, our experience scholarship, which Pam and her team leads, we do over $120,000 a month in financial assistance, right? Or what we call experience scholarships, where people have the ability to come to the Y, whether it's in before and after school swim lessons, right? those things matter. Summer camp. We want everyone to have that ability to experience the why.
And Pam, that monthly slate of families being served by this that Ernie's talking about there, where are the kids, families, participants tend to be going?
All over. You know, I think what's interesting about the why is it's all about choice. So you can choose any why that you want to be a member of, and you can visit any why that you want to be a member of. So our experience scholarship program runs our entire association. And I would tell you that because Shotland is the largest Y, they certainly have the most experienced scholarship members, but we have them across. So I think the beauty is you can live anywhere and you can go anywhere. And that's all about personal choice. Some people prefer to go to Maplewood. They live right in that area. Mm-hmm. They walk to their neighborhood Y. They love all the amenities that they have. And that's their choice. Some people choose to drive a lot farther and go somewhere else. So the beauty of the program is that families like Ernie's family are still being able to have those same experiences that someone like my kids are able to have, right? And we feel really gracious, and we feel really lucky that we're able to provide that through incredibly generous donors, whether that's philanthropic donors as individuals. Our staff gives back incredibly. We had almost 100% staff participation in giving back to our annual campaign this year. You know, we have generous donors that work, that just support, or companies alike.
So Ernie, when you arrive and you started January last year.
Last year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you arrive, you know, essentially post-COVID. Things are normalizing. But in this community in recent years, I mean, you know, there has been community debate and criticism. And, you know, I mean, we can't mention the why without getting a few emails on it. There are Facebook groups, and people are very, it's very personal to them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history. And what I want to do is make sure that you've got space to describe how you see the current sort of makeup of the Y, structures, facilities now, where you want those facilities, what you want them to look like in the future, and how you truly try to serve everybody. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the last thing I want you to do is come in here and just feel like, you know, you're kind of under attack for the hour. But I want you to be able to address it too, because I know you know that it's out there, and you've heard it, Pam's heard it, and I'm not in your. I don't have to make the CEO decisions. I wouldn't want your job, to be honest.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. I don't know that I'd want Pam's job. It's an important, hard role, and so let's start with this. You come here. How did you assess some of those community discussions, mm-hmm. and do you agree with the decisions made by your predecessors?
I do. So great, great question. I'll say this. Prior to starting here in January of last year, you know, so I accepted the position back in October of 22. And I think when the announcement was made, there were a number of people actually reaching out already from the community, sending me emails. Well, you know, technology now, anybody can find you, right?
They found you right away?
Oh, mm-hmm. Right away.
Okay.
Right away. You know, people were looking me up, trying to understand my background as best as they can, and reaching out and, you know, and saying, hey, you know, we really are looking forward to you being here in this community. You know, no negativity from that standpoint at all. I think there were a lot of positive, you know, comments. Hey, we're so excited about your leadership style coming here in Rochester. And, you know, and so for me, I understood that the people here in Rochester, in this region, were really great people. I think that was one of the things that attracted me here too. My family, you know, my wife and daughter, they're having a great experience, and so they love that. But to understand some of the decisions that were made prior to me coming in here, one of the things that I did within my first 90 days, I told my board and our senior team, I said, look, you know, I'm new here to the region. I want to sit down and meet with 90 people within the first 90 days so that I can have a level of understanding around how they view our why, where they think is critically important in terms of that next iteration and what we do to serve community. I want to understand where we might have fallen short in terms of what they want to see in our community. And that 90 people, 90-day list, that would turn into over 150 people, right? And so I think our senior team and our board did a great job of putting a number of community leaders out, saying, hey, you should meet with Ernie, making those introductions. And so I had an opportunity to learn and listen, right, those first 90 days, which then led to us moving down the path of creating this 5-year strategic plan, which we wanted to focus in on. Okay, I heard all of this. This is what I think our vision for this organization moving forward should be and what it looks like. How do we partner with a number of entities? How do we get to have seats at tables that we haven't been at in recent years to have a level of understanding of what our communities, all the communities we serve in urban, suburban, and rural, right, to say these are important things to them and we need to meet them where they're at and provide these services, right? And so I had a level of understanding from that standpoint and to know that the decisions that were made appropriately. You know, we had the time to think through some of these things. It was not made lightly at all, right? And so you're right. Being in a seat, you're going to have to make some tough decisions, and not everybody's going to agree with you, right?
Of course.
So,
sure, yeah.
So I get that. But I think where we stand today and how we're serving community, you know, with Innovation Square being opened up in the city and providing an opportunity for folks to have access to working out, the improvements that we're making in Maplewood and services that we're providing at Lewis Street, Thurston Road, you know, making sure that we're serving more youth and before and after school program spaces, right? Talking about the purposeful partnership component of it, working with the city of Rochester and Rochester School District to be in more locations, right, to serve kids, families, active older adults. I think we're doing a great job of that, and there's more room for growth, and we are investing back appropriately in a lot of our facilities so that we can serve kids, teens, active older adults more appropriately across the board.
So and maybe both of you can help clear up a common kind of piece of feedback that I get, and you've got the phones ringing. We'll get them in a moment here. You, listeners can email the program to connections@wxxi.org. I think you mentioned that of your of the universe of families and individuals supported with financial aid and assistance, I don't know if it's a plurality, but quite a lot go to Shotland. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, you can choose where you want to go. So okay. You don't have to live in Pittsburgh to go to Shotland. You don't have to live in, you know, the Maplewood area to go to Maplewood. You choose your home branch based on what feels right to you. I live in Irondequoit. My home branch happens to be Westside. So I think that, you know, people choose what is right for their family. And so that's really, you know, how that works.
Okay. And the reason I bring up Shotland is it's the newest. It's beautiful. I don't, maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't think it's on a bus line. So if you don't have a car, I don't know how you choose Shotland. But it sounds like you're saying, Pam, there's quite a lot of people who do need assistance who get there.
They certainly do. And you know, Sands is actually the newest in our portfolio in Canandaigua. So we opened the Sands Family YMCA in October of this past year.
Sorry, so Canandaigua. I did not mean to exclude.
I just thought I'd let you know. You know, I mean, it's an incredible facility that is, you know, the third largest Y in our association in 9 months. You know, it's really proof that if you do your homework and you see where there is need and you see where there are families, they will come. And so that's what we did with this new Y. We took the Y off Main Street, moved it to North, and it's been amazing. So no, it's not on a bus line, but to be honest with you, some are, and we don't see a lot of people coming off the bus line to use the Y. So it hasn't been a barrier that we're aware of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you see that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with Pam's assessment of that. And, you know, and I can go back even to my childhood. The Y that I went to was in downtown Stanford, and there would be times where I walked to get to the Y, and it was a half an hour walk. And, you know, it wasn't always in front of a bus line, but I was able to get there. You know, transportation, you know, was not an issue in that sense. But, you know, what we're really doing is being strategic, Evan, in terms of where we are in the locations and how we're serving people and how we're showing up. I think, again, we're reinvesting a lot back into making sure programming for youth through seniors across all our locations, their needs are met from that standpoint.
Okay. Before I grab a phone call, I think on that subject, I want to sound a note of mild skepticism that being on a bus line doesn't matter. But I take the point that I don't
have
the data.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah.
I don't have the data saying, okay. But I don't hear Pam saying it doesn't matter. I think what you, I hear
you
saying is—
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't matter. I just don't think that it's impacted us. And it hasn't impacted the members that we've heard. So, you know, when we— have ever, you know, looked at how people are navigating and traveling to our Y, we're noticing the majority are coming by car. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter, but it hasn't impacted those that are utilizing.
And you mentioned Innovation Square. Mm-hmm. So before I grab some feedback, a consistent one before the program, because like you, we also get emails. Pam gets emails. Everybody gets them on this. You said that hard decisions have to be made. Absolutely. And in your assessment, you know, you took stock of everything, you met with people, and you thought, you know, hard decisions, yes, but you didn't see anything that you wouldn't have done, including closing Carlson.
Correct. Correct. And look, you know, again, tough decision. I think all of this, you know, with board members, right, who have the fiduciary responsibility to make sure we are making the right call on these decisions and assessing everything, looking at the number of users that are coming, you know, I think that was the right decision. That was the right call.
All right. I think we've got Lisa in Rochester first. Hello, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hello. I used to belong to the Y, and I used to give $100 every year to the scholarship for youth to do things during the summer. The closest Y was Monroe Avenue. I looked forward to, you know, the 20-minute walk there, and when I retired, looked forward to being able to use it as a senior. Of course, it closed just in time for me to retire. The young people who would have used the scholarships in my neighborhood can't get to Schweinfurth or the other largely suburban Ys because their families work multiple jobs. They can't readily drive that far to get their kids there, and they can't effectively take a bus. It would take me 2 hours and two buses to get to the Monroe Y if it was open. So that's why having a Monroe Y was important. People could get there because they could walk. Kids could get there. And we have a segregated community in terms of racial segregation and housing. And so the further you move away from the city, the less diverse the people are who go to those Ys, the more segregated the Ys in the city are. And I don't get how your assessments could not show that. I don't know any seniors who go to the Y who are in my neighborhood. It's a largely working class neighborhood.
All right, so I appreciate the phone call, Lisa. Thanks. I'll let our guests. If you're just joining us, Ernie Lamore is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Pam Cowan, chief experience officer. Go ahead. You want to take that response.
Yeah,
go ahead, Pam.
I mean, I think that, you know, we do have neighborhood centers and we do see mm-hmm. a lot of walking to them. So if you look at the Thurston Road YMCA Neighborhood Center in the 19th Ward and you look at Lewis Street in the Market View Heights area, you look at Maplewood, there certainly is access to all of those. One of the things that we're trying to do to provide even greater access is to create something called a community membership. It's a free access membership in which you can visit any of those locations for specialized programming. So, you know, we are definitely trying to remove barriers of access in those neighborhoods. And I think we also are trying to meet people where they are. So sometimes it's not about a Y building. It's about how are we getting services to the community where they are. And that's where we're looking at growing our footprint with charter schools, the Rochester City School District, to try to remove those barriers.
Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, Pam just stated it perfectly clear. I think, you know, sometimes people think about the Y as just a building. We're much more than that. We're beyond that. You know, Y without walls is extremely important to serving community. And the services, the type of services that we provide for youth and adults in our communities are extremely important to us. And so we're continuing to look at what else can we do in all the service areas that the Y is in.
Stephanie writes in to say there is public transit to the Shotland Y because it's in the Pittsford on-demand service zone. So people can take the bus to Pittsford on the Monroe Avenue bus line and transfer to an RTS on-demand service to the Y. That's from Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I appreciate that. Maria calling from the Finger Lakes. Hello, Maria. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. I actually wanted to email. Sorry.
Hang on a second.
I'm calling because I am housing a 11-year-old Ukrainian refugee here on Cuba. They arrived late March. They were experiencing bombing in Odessa. They came from Odessa, and a local church group sponsored them to come here. So they're staying at my house, but now her mom is working full time, and over the summer she will be, you know, still here at my house. So Camp Cory offered her 2 weeks of an experience scholarship where she'll be able to go to Camp Cory for 2 weeks and be able to afford it. And we just are so grateful that she'll be able to do that. She'll be able to have some fun with American kids her age. She'll gain confidence. She'll improve her communication skills. And she'll be in a beautiful, healthy, and safe environment. We cannot tell you how grateful we are for this opportunity. So thanks so much.
Maria, thank you for the phone call. Go ahead, Ernie and Pam.
Yeah, you know, stories like that, there's a lot more positivity, right, around what we're doing. And Maria, thank you so much for calling in and letting us know of the experience that you've had with us at the Y. There's a lot more of those stories that don't get told oftentimes. You know, and again, what we're doing is making sure that we are trying to eliminate barriers so that people have access to the Y like I did growing up.
You know, another great example of that, we do Camp Corral up at Camp Gorham in the Adirondacks. Mm-hmm. We have 185 children of military families. Families that will be up there starting June 30th for a week. You know, that's a fully funded program. And, you know, there is some unbelievable connections that are made there. And those are the types of opportunities we're trying to give, whether it's, you know, kids who live on a base and, you know, that is their life, or kids who, you know, go to a regular school and they might not feel like they fit in because their family dynamic's a little bit different. They all get to go up there and really feel camaraderie. So we're seeing that in different places, right? Not just your traditional swim and gym through membership, but through camp before and after mm-hmm. school. It's really important to us that all kids are given that opportunity.
And Maria, I'll just say as well, I have a big bias on summer camps just because of my family and my own life. And but it's kind of interesting, you know, being 45 years old and thinking about how much has changed and how little has changed when I go back to camp on Yas on Chautauqua Lake or Camp Cory on Keuka, and how much it still feels like it did when I was 8, 12, working there when I was 19, you know. So that is a testament to all the staffs mm-hmm. and the crews that are doing that work. Yeah. It is not easy. I know there's some expectation from parents that technology should be there all week. I think they're doing
it. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, the intentionality we have at overnight camp is real tuned in. You know, my daughter went for the first time last year. She's doubling her time there this year because she loved it so much at Camp Cory. And, you know, there's a real beauty of checking your phone and your tablet mm-hmm. and all your things in your parents' car when you get in. And, you know, they're able to really be kids. She's 12. I want Absolutely. Her to be 12. I don't want her to be 19. I want her to be 12, and I want her to run, and I want her to play and get dirty and forget to take a shower and and not worry about all the other things. And day camp and overnight camp really provide that through these 10 weeks of summer, you know, in so many different ways. So think about, you know, all the different spaces we have, whether it's Power Scholars at our Lewis Street. You know, there's kids who, you know, are going to be leaving their RCSD school mm-hmm. and the summer learning loss is real. And what we've seen through this Power Scholars program is that they gain 2 to 3 months back in the 5 weeks that they're in that program. You know, again, you said it first, but the testament to those teachers, to those counselors, and those kids for being determined to go. I think camp serves a lot of different purposes for a lot of different families and kids, and I love to see that. And,
you know, I want to piggyback off something that Pam just mentioned in terms of our staff, right? They work extremely hard. There's a lot of, you know, love that we try to pour back into them. Just this past Saturday, we had over 600 of our day camp staff there all day for trainings, right? And these things continue on. So what you see, you know, and how they show up each and every day doing camp, a lot of energy, a lot of fun, making sure that the kids have an enjoyable summer experience. So our staff, they work hard, and it's not an easy job. You know, I was a camp counselor once, right? And so you're constantly on, and they love it. And a lot of our counselors, they are repeat, right? We had one person this Saturday who's been with us for over 20 years as a camp counselor, right? Worked full-time doing a year as a teacher, but doing the summers. He's back with us. And so we do have a great community of people who care, who are dedicated. And the other piece, too, just, you know, the learning loss, the Power Scholars Program. There are a lot of things that we do during the summer that are at no cost to kids, too, right? And so the experience that we're providing families and making sure, again, I can't stress this enough, eliminating barriers for people to say that they can't go to the Y or they can't participate at the Y, that's important.
All right, back to your phone calls in a second. I have a question I wanted to ask Pam Cowan, because I think the last time you and I talked, everybody had been affected by pandemic numbers, and in terms of just attendance, you know, what your metrics are. Are they pre-pandemic now?
Or we're higher, actually.
You're higher than pre-pandemic?
Yeah, we are. So we serve just about 100,000 members across our association. And our visitation, you know, in January alone, we had over 410,000 people come through our doors in January. That was up 24% from last year. And if you look at May, you know, we're going to start to go down a little bit, but we were up 17% from last year. So what we see is that people are really rebounding. And we have a focus really on two populations, families and seniors. Not that, you know, everyone isn't welcome, but, you know, when we think of seniors, we're always thinking about the isolation that they really were impacted during COVID. So our active older adult programming across our association is very, very impressive. The group is large. Every location has their own calendar, and they have, you know, just so many people that are engaged and coming on a very regular basis for mental and physical health. And from families, you know, it's the growth of everything, right? It's that third place. We talk about that all the time, yeah. Right? And it's fun to see that when a family comes in, you know, they can kind of divide and conquer and do different things. And that's really kind of what this e-gaming that we're about to open on Thursday, little sneak peek, but we have an e-gaming program that's starting at Maplewood and Shotland. And there's over 35 gaming consoles in each location. You know, we are really trying to figure out, what is it that all kids want? You guys started by talking about basketball and not going pro. And while I didn't chime in, what I wanted to really say and what I was thinking at that moment was, like, you know, the Y is great for intramurals. And so much focus is on club these days that we're really trying to find all those kids that might not want to be that elite athlete, that might not be that elite athlete, that might need something else. That's where the Y fills the void for sports. And then there's kids who don't really love the sports. And so we're trying this e-gaming that I know Ernie's probably dying to tell you more about. So I guess your original question is, what are the stats? We're actually back above COVID numbers, both from a membership number, a visitation number, those who need us from scholarship continues to rise as well.
I want to talk about e-gaming. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I love this because it's more than, and I know earlier we just mentioned the technology, right, and try to get kids off of that a little bit, but this is so different, right, when you talk about the e-gaming.
This is not Camp Corey.
This is not Camp Corey.
Yeah.
Not at all. And so with the e-gaming, the other component of this, I think that's extremely important, is providing these kids an opportunity to think about career paths. Right. Thinking about college, perhaps. Right. You think about what's going on now in the collegiate landscape. You have e-gaming teams competing, you know, and ESPN. Scholarships are being provided to some of these kids now to do that. And, you know, when you think about from a career standpoint, hospitals are looking at, you know, these kids nowadays. And so I think there's a major component to this. And, you know, for us, the opportunity to make sure we're providing this for kids who may not have access to this type of facility, it's extremely important for us moving forward. And so I'm excited about the opening of our e-gaming centers at both Maplewood and Shotland. And, you know, and the opportunity to do this in Maplewood at no cost to, you know, to kids there is extremely important.
Stephanie and Roy, your phone calls are next. David in Rochester emailed earlier to ask, when will we get a downtown pool at the Y?
Well, we do have a pool at Maplewood.
Yep.
So, you know, if we look back to the task force that had our seven strategies, one of the recommendations was to look at the feasibility of a new downtown full service location. That had a 4 to 6 year horizon. And so we're still in that time frame. So no answer to that. But the answer is we're still looking at the feasibility and we're in that timeline and hope to be able to report back.
Yep.
Okay. Let me get Stephanie in Rochester has been waiting. Hi, Stephanie. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm calling from the Park Ave area, and I really miss the Monroe Y. And I'm sorry they gave it away during COVID and closed it. And it's very annoying as a senior to not be able to walk to the Y, and it's a big neighborhood, and there's no Y anymore. So, just saying.
Okay. Anything you want to add there? I'll hang there for a second, Stephanie. Go ahead, Ernie.
Well, I would say, you know, one, we did not, you know, necessarily give it away. I think it's serving a purpose with a new nonprofit in there providing opportunities for at-risk youth. That truly need to have a space like that. And you know, we're happy that we were able to do that. So it wasn't a here, anybody can take it. We were very strategic in our approach and making sure we align in a partner that was going to serve youth in our community.
Okay. Anything you want to add, Stephanie, before I let you go?
No, just sorry that the rest of the community got left out. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. I got an email from a listener named Holly this morning who used this phrase, and I strongly suspect our guests will disagree with the phrase, but I want them to address it. She said that, I simply don't understand why city residents get second-class treatment. So I know that you don't agree with that, Pam. Ernie, I suspect you don't either.
Not at all.
But why don't you address Holly's feeling like, hey, I look around to the suburbs and I feel like we're getting second-class treatment. Go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're very intentional about moving forward is how we reinvest back in all our facilities, right? And so we talked a little bit about this e-gaming center at Maplewood. That's one of those things that we're doing. I think Innovation Square is another beautiful space that you get everything that you need from a workout standpoint, and it's state-of-the-art equipment, and it rivals what we have in Shotland or Westside or Eastside YMCA or Sands YMCA. And so from that standpoint, we are providing similar services, right? And we're being intentional in terms of how we move forward and doing more.
And so let's talk about what that might look like. So, Pam, you mentioned that there's still this time period that we're in the middle of where there's a lot of assessment going on. So I don't suppose you're able to break any news. But can I ask both of you, when you think about some of the frustration that listeners like Holly feel, how do you convince them that, number one, like, I understand you're frustrated, but we are intentional about making sure everyone is served. And as I look 5 years out, I mean, I think Ernie told me before the program, I wrote down some numbers. You want to see 100K to 150K. What's that number represent?
That represents all of who we serve, right?
So you serve around 100,000. You want to increase it by 50% in 5 years.
Correct.
And obviously that would include people who used to go to Carlson. That includes everybody, right?
Well, and
so,
also,
so how do you serve them?
It also includes purposeful partnerships, right? Who are we working with moving forward to make sure that we are serving community on a deeper level from all walks of life, all right? And so that is the next piece of how we move forward to get to that number.
You know, I think one of the things I would say is we had to make a lot of difficult decisions. And one of them was we had to close the Victor Y, too. And we closed the Victor Y just for the same reason as we closed some of the other ones. The traffic just wasn't there. It didn't make sense to stay open. And what did we do? We continued to say, well, how are we going to serve people in that area? And that's when Canandaigua became part of our portfolio. And that's when we built a new Y. And we found that we needed to be in the right location. Location really matters. And so that's really what we continue to look at. So it's not that we are saying, no, there will never be a new building. That's a feasibility study that is underway to say, where would that make sense if it does happen? That's that number seven.
Yeah, and by the way, to that point, you know, folks focus in on Shotland Y. That took over 10 years to actually come to fruition, right? No one ever sees what goes on behind the scenes when these decisions get made and how things get built, right? There are a number of things that have to line up appropriately from a funding standpoint, right? How are we raising the dollars to do these things, right? It is my fiduciary responsibility. This organization has been around 170 years, right? We just celebrated 170 years in March. Guess what? I want to see it serve for 170 more years, right? And that is the same, you know, thing that our board is focusing on, is making sure that we are being good stewards of this organization, long-term sustainability. You know, Evan, I'm sure you know there are a lot of nonprofits that did not make it out of COVID appropriately. And we want to make sure we're never in that position to have services go away in the areas that we're serving.
I'm going to make a comparison that probably former Carlson members won't like, and I don't mean this in any kind of denigrating way. But one thing, when I hear you talk about traffic and just making realistic decisions, about 10 years ago, there was all this talk about, are we going to fill a third of the interloop? Are we going to fill this interloop? This was a big hot thing. And now, of course, we've done a third of it and we're going to do more of it. But someone called the show 10 years ago and said, you know, how dare they do this? I love driving on the interloop. No one is ever there. And that was like, well, that's why they're going to close it. To say nothing of what the mission of closing it would serve based on history and dividing communities, just based on usage. If you're saying, I love being on the interloop because no one else is ever on there, that's not a good reason to keep it.
Well, anyway.
Now, I'm not saying that's what the Carlson, like,
I hear you.
I don't want anybody listening who's part of these very passionate groups.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you were the only ones there and no one was there. I know there were people there and I know you're very passionate about it. But there is a separate question that I want both of you to address, mm-hmm. which is, does it matter if traffic was down? Because does the mission of the why compel you to say, then we've got to get traffic up somehow, but we can't close. We have to be here. Or is it a mix? I mean, how do you describe mission?
I think we tried that for, you know, over 40 years in terms of trying to drive more traffic into Carlson. And it just never worked, by the way, from day one. And we continue to try. And you know, Metro Center lost a lot of money, right, operating under those guidelines. And our mission is to make sure we're serving people, right, and being able to do that in our various locations. We have opportunities for people to participate with us in the why and the things that they're doing. And you know, and Evan, just go back, and I understand the comment you made, and what I'm about to say is not in no way trying to demean people's feelings at all. But, you know, as a nonprofit organization, we have to make business decisions too, right? And so any business that's seeing, you know, reduced revenues, rising expenses, right, and you continue to operate under that sort of scenario, you know, long-term sustainability may not be there if you continue to do that.
What I would tell you too is I think that we make some blanket assumptions of what people want and need. And so what we did was we went to all of our neighborhood centers and we held town halls and we said, what is important to you? And some of the most important things were food access.
Yep.
Some of the most important things were a place for my kid to go after school because I'm still working. I'm not saying that swim and gym isn't important, but I think that in certain communities, it's not in the top three. And so what we're trying to do is meet people where they are. And so what are we doing this summer? We have open summer hours at Lewis Street and Thurston for youth programming that's free. We have a free lunch program with a partnership with RCSD for anyone under 18 at Lewis Street and Thurston. We are trying to do things that are going to change the community for the better. And yes, we want to meet everyone where they are, but we got to start taking small steps forward to make sure that the kids in our community are being met. And I think we have some amazing programming on tap for this summer to continue to move things forward.
Where can people learn more so they can find out?
Of course, at rochesteryMCA.org. Lots of information there, right? You can get information on your membership. You can get member information on camp, on these e-gaming. But you can get information on absolutely anything. If you're having a hard time finding it, use a little search button. Type in any word. Type in free meals. Type in whatever it is you think mm-hmm. you're looking for. It'll take you there.
Note from a listener, something good the Y does is recognize the Silver Sneakers program, a great program for Medicare recipients. So that is from a listener.
Huge.
And
huge.
We've seen that increase.
It's
every
amazing.
Year.
So we have about half of our membership units are seniors, and that is through their insurance. It's incredible. That is our AOA programming. Mm-hmm. It continues to grow.
And Roy in Rochester, next on the phone. Hello, Roy. Go ahead.
Hi. Just sitting in the Shotland parking lot for a second. My driver goes to Live Strong and Stay Strong, the cancer program. People are beautiful. I somewhat agree with Holly and some of the others. I miss Monroe Y. I could have walked to it. But I know that that's intractable and we're going to be dealing with that forever. Mine was a little more mundane. I go to the pool, do the channel, try to keep my leg working all right. I go sit in the hot tub. A woman comes in, walks in with her phone, sits down in the hot tub, and goes talking for the next 20 minutes.
So you want a cell phone policy in the pool area.
Many people say that it's not part of their thing. I figured it's not above your pay grade to maybe give me an answer.
Well, Roy, we will tell you.
You
we do have
boss
a policy.
Here, Roy. They can tell you.
There's the policy. And we'll make sure we have a conversation with our leadership there.
What is the policy? Sure, you're not supposed to sit in the hot tub on a cell phone?
No, not at all.
So there is a policy, Roy, and they're breaking it. So
we'll make sure it gets enforced. How about that?
Okay. And I'm laughing, Roy, because, you know, we've talked about a wide range of subjects here this hour. But, hey, if the CEO's here, go right to the top, Roy. Why not?
Roy's keeping it lighthearted.
Well, there you go. And Diane says, I have a City Y membership, which means I can only use one of the City YMCAs. The Passport membership's out of my budget. So the difference is if you have a City membership, one you can use the City. If you have Passport, you can go anywhere?
So we have a Rock City, which gives you access to all cities. So that would be Thurston and Maplewood and Innovation Square, Lewis Street. So you can go to all of them. Or Passport gives you access everywhere.
And Diane says, the options at the CityWise are often limited. Only Maplewood has a pool. The Maplewood Gym only has one non-recumbent bike. And sometimes the classes are crowded, which can be tough in the small studio. I can't help but feel that those of us who cannot afford the Passport membership are being discriminated against. So some thoughts.
Well, I would say that, Thurston and Innovation Square have amazing Group X programs that aren't nearly as crowded. So certainly something to take a look at. You can look at those schedules and see if those times meet your needs. The pool access, we are not seeing that we are overrun at the Maplewood pool. So right now it's working. But, you know, I appreciate the feedback.
And also, we're always looking at opportunities for growth and enhancements at all of our locations. And so that's definitely something we can talk about on a deeper level.
When it comes to that getting to 150,000 members here in 5 years, we've talked about growth. We talked about vision, where you want to go. What have we missed here, Ernie and Pam, that you want to make sure the community knows is going on? Anything?
Well, yeah, the fact that we are truly here to serve community, I don't want that to be lost on anyone. I made mention that we're making tough decisions, but at the end of the day, when we make those decisions, we're always thinking about how do we, serve and show up in those places and spaces and invest appropriately back into our communities. And that looks like partnering with others on a deeper level, right? Being at tables that we're not necessarily at to understand what are some of the complications that people in our communities are facing. We want to be a convener space. We want to show up on a deeper level, and reinvest appropriately. And so I think that's something everybody should know. We're always thinking of how to get better. We don't think that we're a finished product, that we're perfect in any way. Understand that. But, we have a group of dedicated senior staff members, team members at all of our branches and locations that we serve. We have a dedicated group of volunteer board members who understand our mission and what it means to be a Y and serve. And so we're thinking about those all the time.
And Ernie, I'll close with this. I mean, as we mentioned, you and I needed the Y in different ways growing up. And I literally think of the Y my camp experiences, the leadership, the people I met as making me a better person, a better coach, a better person in the community. And I think about that a lot. But we needed it in different ways. I mean, your father needed it for you, a single parent. You needed it because you were seeing all kinds of paths that your life could have gone on that I was less at risk for. I had more privilege. Are you confident now that the Y is providing that same path for kids who are maybe facing similar challenges that you and your dad faced?
I do believe that. And again, I think we're going to be doing a lot more, right, moving forward and providing opportunities for kids in all our areas to have access to different things that they've not seen before that we've done. And so as we move forward, you know, again, I think the team members that we have understand that focus and the vision of how we show up, right, each and every day, making sure that no one is left out and not have access or an inability to pay. That is extremely important to us. And so, you know, we need community to continue to, you know, show up for us as well and partner with us.
Salute to everyone going out to work summer camps, getting ready for that. It's a great time of year. Pam Cowan, tell people again where they can get information on whether it is camped. And you're a little late on camps, but hey, it's never too late to look.
Never too late.
But there's a lot going on. Where can people
learn more? RochesterYMCA.org has everything you need. I think that everyone said it great, right? We are here to continue to learn how the community needs us to show up for them. That's the conversation we want to be in, and we look forward to more.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And great conversation with Ernie Lamore, who is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Come back anytime. Open invitation, sir. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Pam Cowan, Chief Experience Officer of the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
More connections coming up in just a moment.